Yes.
To the hand that's paralytic, he gives a hand. To the person who is in mind of grief, he gives the heart of an intoxicated one. We will not submit, and objections have gone from us, since there is coming a great recompense for what has been lost. Inasmuch as heat comes to me without fire, I am content if his fire kills me. Inasmuch as he gives light without any lamp, if your lamp is gone, why are you lamenting?
Asimbraza, you can change the words, some I don't prefer, but the rest is quite simple. Long paragraph. Patience paid off. The guy tried to explain it and Rumi added all to it to understand that, listen, here we are talking about your point of view, right? So the most important stuff for us is the eye, the way you look at this universe. Okay, let me tell you, even without the eye, you could read if you really seriously want to or need to, because this is not the only one. You could read without this one. What you could read without this one? This one looks at the form of the whatever it is. He said, I will give you the eye to read the essence. To understand the essence, that one you don't need the eyes. You need the third eye, something else. Remember, we surrender, we don't object, because we 100% believe in this, and we see it happen. Period. I believe you're not convinced, I understand, because it's not easy to swallow. So let me explain it to you other way. The way of some of these so-and-so people, they are different and they don't act. Yes.
Description of some saints who are content with the attainments and do not beseech to change this decree. Now listen to a story of those travelers on the way who have no objection in the world.
What translation? If the beginning of a paragraph is Vishnu to me, it rings an alarm. This book is started with Vishnu, listen. Here we start with listen. And you say, listen now to this story. Means I explained all of that, now listen to this one. But listen as I told you, listen to the essence. Because I want to tell you the story of some travelers, the walkers of this path, that they have no nagging in this universe. This is the first one. So, you see, it's very alarming that this is where you learn the address of that attitude, which is unimaginable almost. Let's see what that attitude is. Yes?
Those of the saints who make invocation are in sooth different. Sometimes they sow, and sometimes they tear. I know another class of saints whose mouths are closed to invocation. Because of the content that is subservient to noble ones, it has become unlawful for them to seek to avert destiny.
What was that? A very simple, serious explanation which needs a lot. First of all, he said, the saints, some of them they pray. It means praying is not bad. Some of them, they pray. But they are like people that they do something, that they break it, they saw, they threw it apart. Because When you are praying, what are you saying? You wish for something.
Look at it a little bit better.
You're demanding something. In a way. Yes, in a pretending to be humble, but you're asking for something. What do you know about that something? That something is good or bad? You know the long story. You never know. You say, okay, but I know another group of these saints. These fellows, they never pray. Why? Simple. Satisfaction. They're satisfied. Because of that satisfaction they have, they never seek to change the consequence of anything. Because everything is perfect. That's how it works. Do you understand it? Don't say yes. Please. Okay, yes.
Are we talking about Taslim then here?
No, Reza. That's different. He doesn't call it surrender. Is it? They are satisfied. Therefore, they don't want to change anything. Listen. Yes.
In submitting to destiny, they experience a peculiar delight. It would be an act of infidelity for them to crave release.
Mm-hmm. First, there is one word over there which was translated delight or something like that. The word is zog, means taste. Do you remember the beginning of book 2? He said, if you don't have the taste, you will not get it. Here is the same stuff. Is really joy, happiness, satisfaction, all of that with taste, with all of the best quality. We say, they see a very lovely taste in consequence. Of course. Why don't you like the consequences? Because you do a lot of wrong stuff. If you don't do the wrong stuff, do you want to change the consequence? Oh, you do some stuff for goodness and you want that goodness not to happen? It works like that. They have the taste and that taste is tamed. They tamed their taste. Therefore, they don't want to change the consequence. Yes?
He hath revealed to their hearts such a good opinion that they do not put on the blue garb on account of any sorrow.
Let's go back to the last paragraph. Remember? He said exactly the same. He said, you have a very good positive attitude and your hope is here. You see, that positive attitude is open to their heart to think positive, to hope, to look for the better, to believe that the better comes from above. Yes?
Gulu questioned a certain dervish.
Means what? Means somebody is asking somebody. The second one was Joe, right? The first one was Bolu. Who is Bolu? Now, Bolu is a very strange character that you will know him little by little. This is a guy who looks crazy, talks crazy, and does crazy stuff. Okay? But always and always, at the end of the story, he's right and the rest are wrong. This is what this character is all about. We have a lot of stories about the guy. The guy, you cannot say, when they say Bohlul, you cannot say this is top scientist or the dummy stupid fellow. And he looks different. It's like a little bit, do you remember Mullah Nasruddin, which is comic stuff? Bohlul is not comic. Bohlul is a philosopher. Here, Bohlul is questioning another dervish about some stuff which Rumi needed to tell us about this. He made a very
good explanation, very short paragraph, only 6 verses. Now he wants to explain to you with a question. Yes.
Ulu said to a certain dervish, "How art thou, O dervish? Inform me." He said, "How should that one be? According to whose desire the work of the world goes on?"
That was the question. Simple one. You understand it. Someone asks you, "How do you feel? How are you today?" That was what the guy said. He said, "How are you? Let me know. Explain it to me." The guy said, "Imagine a fellow that all his desires is running. How does he feel?" Could you imagine? Someone that everything goes in accordance to his wishes. Yes.
According to whose desire the torrents and rivers flow and the stars move in such wise as he wills. And life and death are his officers, going to and fro according to his desire. He sends condolence wheresoever he wills. He bestows felicitation wheresoever he will. The travelers on the way, according to his pleasure, they that have lost the way in his snare. No tooth flashes with laughter in the world without the approval and the command of that imperial personage.
Do you get it? Who is this guy? He repeated all the dimensions for you not to be able to nag about something. Is it? Imagine a guy that everything goes according to his wishes. The rivers, the ocean, everything. Even life and death. He will send joy here, sorrow over there, and all the seekers. They are somehow in his control, even the lost people. Who is that fellow? This is that Darvish. Could you imagine that? Let's hear your objection. Yes.
He said, "O King, thou hast spoken truly. 'Tis even so. This is manifest in thy radiance and aspect."
Yes. I can see it in your face, in your attitude. You are really that happy. Yep. But let me understand, please explain it to me. Yes.
"Thou art this and 100 times as much, or very vericacious one, but expound this and explain it very well, in such fashion that the virtuous and the man given to vanity may assent when it comes to their ears. Expound it in thy discourse in such a way that the understanding of the vulgar may profit thereby."
Do you see who is talking? This is that Bolul guy. If it was you, I say, "You're kidding. Are you serious?" And he said, "Oh, of course you are. I could see it in your face. You're 100 times better than that." But you know what? You should explain it. Not very scientifically. Not in a high level. Explaining in a way that if somebody is listening or someone else is sneaking, they will have the fruit. Explaining in a way that even an ordinary fellow could understand it. This is the way Bolul reacted. Yes?
"The perfect speaker is like one who distributes trays of viands and on whose table is every sort of food, so that no guest remains without provisions. Each one gets his nourishment."
Who is this fellow? Is this Bolul? And you understand that Rumi is